Yvonne Archer.
I just wanted to add to that. Sorry, can you hear me? I'm just backing 100% of what Nairobi's just been saying. In my work as a therapeutic life story worker, it's all about helping people to understand their story. If people don't know where they're coming from, how can they plan where we need to go? And that actually applies to provisions, services that are needed. If we don't know that people are suffering, so many people are out there suffering in silence. I mean, I deal with children as well, doing life story work. They don't know who they are. They don't have a real sense of identity. And that includes our elders, like Neil Flanagan, Mars Roy. You're not an elder yet, Jared, but you know.
Major Flurry's not an elder yet, she's suggesting.
At all. But the point is that if you don't know your story, how can you understand what you need, what you're lacking, how to communicate with other people? You don't have those relations that Nairobi's took. We're human beings. We are social creatures by nature. We need to talk to other people. The research has shown that if we don't have that connection with other human beings, we die younger. How sad is that? And listen to this poor this guy on the phone. It's heartbreaking, actually. What's going on?
Major Flurry, a good question there. What's going on? When Nairobi was talking about memory, it struck me that the one thing that I hear over and over again about veterans in the United States, particularly those veterans in recent conflicts like the Vietnam War, is that when they came home, they were rejected almost, not least because, you know, America was seen as losing that war, I imagine, but also because they came back at a time when, you know, it was all peace and love or whatever it might have been. I wonder whether it's the fault of the politicians. David in Croydon mentioned these wars are about rich people, you could argue, about politicians sending poor people to die on their behalf. Mm. I wonder whether it's the politics that gets in the way of the way people should be remembered, if that makes sense.
So I would hazard a guess that no person in any military ever joined because they want to go and break things, break history. They want to contribute in a substantive way to what they see as their nation. They want to help build their nation. They want to help their kinsmen, the people. The American experience of the Vietnam conflict, a very complicated conflict, and that was a persistent narrative through much of the later 20th century, was that these veterans went, they were conscripted largely, and largely conscripted from the lower classes, lower economic classes.
So black and Latinos featured heavily amongst those who took part in those conflicts, didn't they?
Indeed. I was actually speaking with Jack on Friday the accusation that Americans are more racist. There's one scholar suggesting that it, Jesuiner Bellina is his name, that might not necessarily be the case. It's just that we're as classist as everybody else. It's just in the United States, class is heavily associated with race. So in the example of the Vietnam conflict, yes, there were no Al Gores being conscripted.
Sorry, no what?
I'm sorry, Al Gore was a
Al Gores,
a vice president.
Al Gores. Sorry, yeah, we know who Al Gore is.
Right.
Yeah, hanging chads and all of that in Florida. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. You know, that economic class of people, they were probably not expecting to go to Vietnam against their will. But it must be said that many Americans volunteered for that conflict and went, and what they experienced, it became complicated, right? Largely is now imagined as being a morass. With no tangible end, and it therefore complicates the experience of the soldiers who participated in that conflict somewhat unwillingly. Imagine being a conscripted American from the lower classes, called upon to go serve the United States, a country that had generally not provided you many opportunities forced into a conflict, and pretty much every service person's dilemma led to inflict violence on people that you don't know. Then return to a country that rejects you for what they see as rather heinous acts. Layers of sort of victimization and that paradigm, and one that Americans are rather deliberately attempting to heal now. The experience of these last wars, the ongoing wars on terror, have been rather positive, but perhaps because they haven't had as much of a catastrophic effect on the imagination of being American. One doesn't hear much about Afghanistan in the news in the same way that one heard about Vietnam daily during that time.
Yeah, and one heard about Lieutenant William Kelly's outrages in My Lai, for example, or My Lai, as the Vietnamese would say. And that narrative kind of sticks there, stays there, doesn't go away. But is it the politicians, is what I was trying to get to, Jack, you know, politicians... They're the ones that take countries into war. The politicians...
Not to be trusted.
Sorry?
Politicians, I'm just finishing your sentence for you.
What was my sentence?
You said politicians.
I didn't say anything of the sort.
Politicians, not to be trusted.
I said politicians, dot, dot, dot. You said not to be trusted. I'm going to let you own that one. No, but I wonder whether it's politicians that make the divisions in war because of... You're fighting now, you're struggling, as indeed Nairobi is, and many other people, Mars Roy is, and as I know Neil is, to try and make sure that the permanent memorials to those people of African and Caribbean heritage who took part in the wars are there. But the reason they're not there is because of the politics, isn't it? It's because of the politics. Or can you think of any other reason?
Well, I'm not in the minds of the politicians, so I can't think why they wouldn't do what is obvious. So again, I think you're asking the wrong person the wrong question.
I keep asking you the questions. Okay.
I keep batting it back.
Let me leave that. Yeah. Maybe we'll come back to this, because I think there'll be many more times that we can discuss this.
Indeed.
For now, let me just thank all my guests in the studio, as well as Dr. Jack Bueller. We heard from Major Jared Flurry from the United States Army a moment or two ago. We've heard from Yvonne Archer. She's an author, therapeutic life story worker, and a broadcaster. And she brought her dad in, Stanley Roy Archer, more commonly known as Mars Roy. His book is Life According to Mars Roy. We've also privileged to have Neil Flanagan here as well, who took part in the Second World War, and a member of the West Indian Ex-Servicemen's Association, and Nairobi Thompson, who's a writer and a poet, and related to the first black British officer in the First World War, Walter Tull. It's a shame that I haven't...